Brothers and sisters, Acts chapter 9. Going to be looking at verses 32 to 43 this morning. And that's Acts chapter 9, 32 to 43. You know, as we say, what a simple song, right? But how profound. And I hope as you sing that, you're able to sing it with faith. Reflecting on the hope that is the gospel. This is everything to the believer. What we just sang in those four lines. This is our hope. And so I pray that we, you know, we all can come and we sing that. We don't just sing it in the air, but we sing it to the Lord. We sing it by faith and with joy in our hearts. That's how we worship through song, right? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. This is what the Word calls us to do. And when there's faith, oh, it comes and matches perfectly. The Word becomes alive. It's like, that's what it's talking about right there. As we sing to the Lord what's true in our hearts. Amen. The gospel is everything. Let us sing and give glory to the Lord for it. All right. What's the Lord say to us here in His perfect Word? Beginning in verse 32. Now it came about that as Peter was traveling through all those parts, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, and he had been bedridden 8 years, for he was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. And immediately he rose. And all who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now in Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. And it came about that at that time that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her body and they laid it in an upper room, and since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, entreating him, do not delay to come to us. And Peter arose and went with them. And when he had come, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the saints, showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. But Peter sent them all out, and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up, and calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came about that he stayed many days in Joppa with a certain tanner, Simon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we once again come into your presence. Lord, we bow humbly before you to pray to you, our one true God, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of your people, whom you saved before the foundation of the world, the one who makes his people righteous and holy and blameless through your perfect Son, the one who became man, the one who lived the perfect life, the one who went to the cross in our stead, the one who took your wrath so that we could be forgiven and made holy and righteous and be able to dwell with you forever, the one that rose from the grave to show once and for all the victory of Christ over sin. Lord, this is who we come before. Lord, it's unfathomable that you even call us into your presence, that we who are sinners can come and pray to a holy God, that you even want to hear our prayers. But you do. You bid us to come and to come often. And so, Lord, we come with a collective mind in Christ this morning as your people. We come humbly into your presence and we thank you. We thank you, of course, for the Christ. We thank you for the salvation that's in Him. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you this morning freely. We thank you for, Lord, our families that we are able to gather here with, the love and the relationships that you have given us here on earth. We pray that you enable us to live them out in such a way that reflect your glory. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for your word. Lord, it's through your word you reveal yourself to us. You do not have to reveal anything to us. Without you, we are only in darkness. Lord, when you reveal, you shed light, and you do that through your word. Lord, I pray you forgive us for our lack of love for your word. Help us to treasure it more, to truly treasure it like gold or silver, and more valuable than that. Let us see it as the bread that we need to live by day in and day out. Lord, I pray you use your word this morning, of course. You will cause it to bring about what you send it out for. We trust that. Lord, as your people, we call on you and ask you to send it out in a way that would put us on the right path as your people. And Lord, if we are on the wrong path, we pray you would use it to correct us, to gently rebuke us and grant us repentance and bring us on the right path. Lord, I pray you would use your word to cause us to love you more. And Lord, to stir us up to love and good works amongst one another. This is what you call us to. May you use your word by the power of your Spirit to do that, to accomplish much, Lord. We can't accomplish anything in our own efforts. Continue to humble us and teach us that, and to teach us how to rely on you, how to actually walk in faith of who you are and your power and your will. Teach us, O Lord. We need much teaching. We know nothing without you, and we can do nothing apart from you. Oh, so we are needy. But we come to the one who has all strength and power and ability. And we come in confidence through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and ask you to fulfill all these things, Lord, for the glory of your name. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for the past several weeks and even months now, right, we've been in the book of Acts. And I want to remind you that what we've been seeing in the book of Acts, right, is the story of God building His church, right? We've seen a lot about these apostles, and yes, these apostles are active, and these apostles are performing many miracles, and these apostles are bringing many people to Christ through their ministry. But I want you to understand and make no mistake about it that it is God doing this work through all these men. They are merely His instruments. And while God is, yes, doing all this work through all of His apostles and even more disciples like Philip and Stephen and those we've been seeing, at this point in the book of Acts, you know, the story's kind of narrowed down now to just a couple of men. We saw one burst on the scene really in the last chapter, the last couple of weeks. That's Saul, or Paul, right, through his conversion. And he's going to be the man that dominates the second half of this book. But the other man, of course, was Peter. And he's been the dominant figure in the first half of this book. And as we turn to our passage this morning, what we see is that we return to the story of Peter, or really God using Peter as His instrument, right, to continue to build His church. And what we see as we look to Peter and what he's up to is we see that instead of his, what we've been seeing, the usual preaching to the masses, you know, as he preached to the crowds in the synagogues and he would preach to the entire Sanhedrin and the crowds that would gather there, instead of that, well, we see now more of an intimate personal ministry by Peter in these two passages, or in this passage, as we see two stories of God performing an amazing miracle through Peter, again, to build His church, as we see. That's always the purpose. But you see this individual personal ministry, and what we see is that Peter is just as effective in his personal individual ministry as he is in the ministry to the masses. And of course, that would make sense if God's the one doing it. He's the one that's going to make it effective. And again, that's what you see, is God working through Peter. But you know, even though this is God working through Peter, and I want to exclaim that, I want to make sure you understand that, it's all God. So that's what we have faith in. That's why I want you to know. But even though that's true, you know, as we look and read this story of Peter and these two miracles that God did through him, I think as we look at his personal ministry, we can see here several aspects or features to his ministry and how he went about it that we could learn a lot from that would help, if we apply the same things, would help make us effective. Again, only God makes us effective, but these are features, these are aspects that we would all do well to learn as we watch Peter go about his ministry. So what are these features? What are these aspects I'm talking about? Well, the first one I want you to see is this, that Peter was effective because he was available, right? As we look at these stories, Peter was simply effective because he was available. Look at verses 32 and 33, and we'll also look at verses 36 and 39, all right? Well, first of all, it says that, in verse 32, that Peter was traveling through all those parts. Now, what are those parts? It would kind of start abruptly here. Well, it's the parts of Judea and Galilee and Samaria that were just referred to in verse 31, where we left off last week. Those parts. Peter was traveling through those parts. Why? Well, you know, the church was expanding there, right? Aided by the persecution that had come, that we saw that flared up right after Stephen. The church is now expanding to all these areas. And now if Peter is going to be an apostle to the entire church and going to be involved in the entire church, he's going to have to leave Jerusalem. And that's exactly what he did. He left Jerusalem and he was out ministering by traveling in all of these parts. And we see as he did that, he comes to this little town called Lydda and he meets the saints there. And what happens when he puts himself out there in this little town of Lydda and just makes himself available to the saints who are at Lydda and basically turns himself over to God and says, God, you use me as you see fit. We know that's how Peter worked and ministered. As he just put himself out there, lo and behold, there's a ministry opportunity as he comes across a man who is a paralytic for 8 years, this Aeneas that he comes across. And my point is, again, why did this ministry opportunity present itself for Peter? Was it because he had developed a program to minister to paralytics? Absolutely not. He didn't have to go seeking it out, right? What did he do? He made himself available by putting himself out there amongst the people of God, and lo and behold, putting himself out there and saying, God, use me as you will. The ministry opportunity simply presented itself. And my point is, brothers and sisters, as we're just getting started in this point, is the same is true as of us. If we just make ourselves available by putting ourselves out amongst the people, where are the people, right? The people of God for sure, and the people. And we just say, God, use me, you know, and I don't try to come up with the clever way of doing it myself and say, God, use me according to the power of your Spirit to do what you want. The opportunities will simply present themselves. And we will see God use us effectively in ministry because He does it, not us. Now, we got to believe it, that it's God doing it. Otherwise, we'll start striving and we'll start trying to figure it out and we'll start trying to program and we'll do all these things. And it's just not going to have a lasting effect unless it's God's doing it. So we got to see that it's God doing it, but we got to make ourselves available. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Put me out among the people. That's exactly what Peter did. Here I am. I'm going to go where the people are, Lord. Where's your people? They're all over Judea now. They're all over Samaria. I got to go. And he went, and he went to this little town of Lydda, and this is what happened. Now, as we move into 36 and 39, what we're going to see, that as God performs another miracle, a greater miracle, right, through Peter as he gets there, but he performed this greater miracle through Peter because was available again in a different way. We'll get to that. As we look, as there's this town called Joppa, which is just about 10 miles away from Lydda. If you know, it's on the coast of the Mediterranean there in Israel, not very far from Lydda, which is in modern-day Tel Aviv now, where the airport is. We see that a tragedy struck the church in Joppa. And what was that tragedy? Well, it was this beloved saint by the name of Tabitha, who's also called Dorcas in the Greek. Both names are translated mean gazelle, okay? That's simply what they mean. So she must have, you know, been a a lovely lady, like a gazelle, so to speak. So that was her name. Well, she fell ill and she died. This beloved saint passed away. Well, what happened? Well, the saints greatly grieved and they mourned over her, right? Why? Because she was a lady, as it says here, who was full of deeds of kindness and full of deeds of charity, deeds that it says she did constantly. You know, it just wasn't every once in a while. She was abounding in these things, and it was a constant doing deeds of love and kindness and charity, right? And at least in part, as we see, part of these deeds were that she would make clothing or garments for the needy, as we see the widow showing Peter, right, later on in that passage, that look at what she had done. Now, this is kind of a side note, but I don't want us to miss the example of Christian virtue that is Tabitha, right? The example of what it means to be a Christian in the fact that she was a woman who was so full of love and deeds of love that matched true love, right? Remember, love's not just a feeling and well-wishing and thinking well of others. It actually results in an action. It's a decision to love, and that's what she did. She was so full of this, right, that when she died, the church was greatly grieved over her passing. Now, why were they so grieved? Why were they mourning over her? Were they concerned about her destiny and what would happen to poor Tabitha now that she was dead? No, they knew she would be in the arms of her Master and Savior if it was truly her time, right? Now we see the Lord moving and burdening them in a different way here for His glory, and we'll get into that. But they were not grieved because Tabitha, her fate after her death, why were they grieved? They were grieved because of the massive hole that would be left in their lives now that she was gone. They were grieved by the fact that now there would be absent this woman who was so full of love and good deeds. What would they do now without the presence of this person and such love? She had left a mark on their lives that was so great. They grieved greatly because, not for her, but for themselves. Where has she gone? What will we do now? You know, and along the same line, this teaches us, brothers and sisters, doesn't it? Shall we not live a life, right, that would leave such a mark on others, right, that there would be a hole felt from the absence of the love and good deeds that would be gone after we are? I mean, how do you want to be remembered at your funeral? Here's Tabitha. What is she remembered for at her death? She's remembered for all the love and good deeds that she did while she was there, right? You'll be remembered for something, brother and sister, right? You know that. You've been to enough funerals to know you will be remembered for something. Well, what do you want to be remembered for? Let us all strive to love truly and to love with love and good deeds as Tabitha did, so that when we're gone, we're remembered for that. Let that be the mark we leave on other people, right? Again, just a great example of what Christian virtue looks like. Somebody who was so full of love that her life was full of the deeds of love, so much so when she's gone, her presence was felt. The absence of her presence was felt. Now, getting back to the story of Peter, what happens with Peter here? Well, what we see with Tabitha is after she passed away, what did they do? Well, they washed her body, which was customary, and they put her in an upper room, which was not customary. They typically would bury the body at that point, right? So this tells you they had something else in mind already, right? Probably having heard of what just took place in Lydda, with this great miracle, right, that God had worked through Peter, they send for Peter in hopes, I'm sure, that Peter would be able to do some miraculous thing and raise Tabitha from the dead. And so they send these two men to go get him urgently. That's why they say, come quickly, come, don't delay. But what do we see with Peter when they ask him to come? Well, he gets up and he goes with them immediately. Now I want to ask you, do you think there's anything going on in Lydda at this time that they come and they ask Peter to go? What had just happened? Peter had just performed the miracle of healing the paralytic man, Aeneas, for 8 years. And what happened after that? Well, it says that everybody or all in Lydda had turned to the Lord. That is, they had all repented right, of going their own way in their previous commitments, and they had turned about face, and now they were following the Lord. That's just, they had turned to the Lord. This was repentance and faith and trusting in Christ, all in Lydda and the surrounding area of Sharon, right, which is the valley around that area. So do you think that perhaps Peter had some ministry going on in Lydda at that time? I'd say he was very busy with all the people who were coming to the Lord and ministering to them. But what did Peter do when this opportunity presented himself and his presence and his services were called upon? He left that and he went with them immediately. And so that's what I want to point out to you, brothers and sisters, is that Peter was available in many ways. First, he just put himself out there among the people. And then when ministry came a calling, specifically, he made himself available. And because of that, he was very effective. Now, I'll just ask you, brothers and sisters, what do you think about your own personal ministry? You know, we're not just talking about somebody who's, you know, a preacher or somebody, a missionary who's a life of ministry. We're all called as Christians to be ministers, that is, servants to one another and servants of the Lord to be used by Him. How effective is your ministry? As you think about that, you know, how much do you make yourself available for ministry? As you see, as you think about that, the more you put yourself out there, just make yourself available. Put yourself out there and say, here I am, Lord. Use me as you see fit. And then when those specific opportunities come along, even in the busiest of times, and boy, that's hard for me to let go of my busyness when specific opportunities come a-calling. If you just make yourself available in those ways, I think you'll see God using you in a much more effective way in ministry by just making yourself available. That's why you see Peter so effective, is he was available. That's the first first feature that we see. What's the second one that we see? We see that Peter was effective because he exalted Christ. He was Christ exalting. If you look at verses 34, 35, you see that once Peter does come to Aeneas and he prepares to heal him, he declares something to Aeneas. He says, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. So right away, Peter is declaring that this power is not from him, that this power is from Christ and about Christ and for Christ, right? He makes sure that everybody knows this is not about him, this is about Jesus. And he says, Jesus is the one healing you. And then after he declares that he's healed, he calls Aeneas to faith by saying, arise and make up your bed, right? That's a call to faith because he's just declared to Aeneas that God's healed you. Now, there must be some effort on your part to believe that and to get up and to make your bed. And so Aeneas gladly responds with faith and he arises and he makes his bed, right? And notice that this healing is instantaneous and it's complete. I always want to point that out here to you, that when Jesus or the apostles heal someone, it's not a gradual thing. It's not a partial thing. You don't even have to guess at it. It's always complete. It's always full right there in the moment. And what was the result of this? Well, again, as we just talked about a while ago, the result of the healing, right, was that all in Lydda turned to him. And that's a pretty big word to get your mind around. All, you know, all of Lydda, this isn't a huge town, but all of any place is a lot. All of Lydda and Sharon turn to the Lord, right? Which shows the greater purpose for the miracle through Peter. You know, this is Peter's personal ministry, and this healing was definitely a benefit to Aeneas, but this was not the greater purpose of why the miracle was performed. This wasn't all about Aeneas and him being able to walk again, right? No, this was about glorifying God. That's why God used Peter in such a way to exalt the Christ and to show the miracle-working power in Christ and to affirm and attest to the message that we know Peter must have been speaking and preaching as he was in Lydda. So we see the greater purpose, again, as always through these miracles, is to point to Christ, and exactly what you see here. And then if we move into the next miracle, you see the same thing there. When Peter goes to raise Tabitha from the dead, you do see a great miracle there that occurs, and it's through Peter. And the result is the same, which again shows that the purpose was not just to bring Tabitha back and to bring great joy among the believers, which I'm sure there was, but the purpose was to exalt Christ. And even though it doesn't say that he told them that, you can guarantee that Peter made sure they knew that it was by the power of God and the power of Christ that she was raised. And again, the same result occurs here, right? You know, as I already pointed out, he made sure of this by declaring that this was not by me, this was by the power of Christ. That's why Peter did all his ministry. That was his motive, to point to Christ. And you see, that was the result. It always would result in people turning to the Lord. Now, as we see Peter's example here, I would say this is an example that we would always, that we'd be good to see, and it would be good to remember, and it would be good to follow. And what I mean by that is, if any kind of ministry that we're involved in and that the Lord is going to put us in, we've got to always be mindful that the purpose is to exalt Christ. And we've got to always be mindful to point to Him as we do that, so that Christ gets the glory. That's the purpose that God's going to do it. That's the purpose for which God does all ministry, is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we must always be mindful of that. Now, we know this. We have knowledge of this, and we know that, okay, yes, Jesus is what my ministry is to be about. Yes, it's supposed to be about Jesus. Yes, I need to point to Jesus in these things. But it's so easy for the motive of our heart, right, to begin to make it about us before we even realize it. You know, it's about our name. It's about our influence. It's about our authority. It's about our own little kingdom. And so we always have to remind ourselves and bring us back to this purpose and, right, allow the Lord to search your own hearts and let Him show us, am I really doing this to exalt you, Lord? Is this really the purpose for which I'm out here? This is always something we need to check our hearts in, brothers and sisters, because, you know, I was praying with some brothers the other day and just, you know, talking about just how easy it is. We can pray the right prayers and good prayers, but it's not for the purpose of exalting Christ. It's for some other purpose that we don't even realize it. It's about us. And so this has to be a heart check constantly. Is it really about exalting you, Lord? Is this the motive by which I'm doing what I'm doing? It has to be our motive, because if it is, we know that's God's will. And if we know that's God's will, what's He going to do? He's going to honor that. He's going to make it effective, because that's the purpose, you know. We sang here just a little while ago about, you know, the purpose of all things is to be summed up in Christ, and I read that. We know that's where everything's going. Everything in the world, God has ordained to take place for this purpose, that Christ would be exalted. And so if we have that as our true aim, you can guarantee God is going to honor that. And He's going to make it effective and bring it about to that purpose. But oh, how the heart's deceitful. And oh, how it can not be about exalting Christ. It can be about us. So this has to be something that we're always seeking the Lord in and asking Him to show our own heart. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Am I truly pointing to Christ? Am I truly aiming to exalt Him in what I'm doing? So we see that Peter was effective because he was available. Put himself out there. We see that he was effective because he was Christ exalting. That's what he sought in all that he did. And we see that God honored that and brought honor to Christ, because that's what these miracles were about. They weren't about specifically the individuals. Yes, they benefited them and it was wonderful, but it was about the exaltation of Christ more than anything. That brings us to the third aspect, the third feature, which is this. Very simple. Peter was an effective minister because he was prayerful. Peter was an effective minister because he was prayerful. Look at the last verses, 40 to 43. You know, we see there when he goes to perform the miracle of raising someone from the dead, he does something that looks very similar to what Jesus did when he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. By the way, this is almost a dead-on, you know, copycat of that. This is almost exactly what Jesus did with this. Matter of fact, if you just take the letter in Tabitha and make it an L, as he said exactly what Jesus said, Talitha cum, little girl, arise, rise. Tabitha, arise. This was just eerily similar to what Jesus did. Peter is walking in the footsteps of Christ here. And what does he do? Well, he sends everybody out of the room, right? Once they're all grieving, and they're showing the tunics, and they're mourning over Tabitha, and they say, Peter says, you know, I'm sure after a little while, he's like, everybody get out. Now, why did he do that? Well, one reason, again, we just saw Peter. This isn't about Peter. He wasn't going to put on a show for him, right? This is about the Lord, so everybody go out. But two, he wanted to be able to pour his heart out before the Lord without distractions, because in prayer, what do we see he does after he sends them out? It says he prays. And he prays, what do you think he's praying about? Well, he's praying about what he's about ready to do. Where did Peter know that the source of the power and strength comes from to even be able to do something like this? He knows it comes from the Lord, and he dare not presume that it would come from any other place, and he dare not presume that power would be there without praying first. You know, Peter's a man who had performed many miracles. By now, he's an old hat at it, right? He was, you know, remember, he was performing so many miracles, people were putting their beds in the streets of Jerusalem just as so as shadow would be cast upon him and they might be healed. I mean, miracles were coming out of Peter quite often. And he had just performed one in Lydda, an amazing one of healing the paralytic. So Peter knew how to perform miracles. Do you know how tempting it is, right, to walk in the success of the Lord and then to begin to just presume on that and begin to walk in your own strength? But do you see Peter do that? No. He knows where his power comes from. It comes from the Lord only, and you know that he knows that because he prays. That's why he prays. He knows God is the one who's going to perform this, and he must get on his knees and pray before he dare try to perform such a miracle. And so you see Peter's faith in God through his prayer. That's how you know a man really trusts in God and his strength and his power, is that he prays. If he doesn't pray, then he's trusting in his own strength and power, most likely. And then what do you see? After Peter prays, then he cries out, Tabitha, arise. And then you see the Lord honor that prayer in a mighty way. As he raises Tabitha from the dead, she opens her eyes. I can't imagine what it would have been like to have been there. She sits up. He takes her hand. Lifts her up, and then he presents her to all the saints. And there was much joy and rejoicing and worship of the Lord. My goodness, what a celebration, worship service that must have been. So much so, many in Joppa turned to the Lord. Again, what was the purpose of it? It wasn't just so they would have Tabitha back. It was so that Jesus would be exalted. God used Peter in a mighty way through that. And then just almost a footnote here, it's almost in a passing note, it says that Peter stays in Joppa with the tanner, Simon. That's a segue into the next passage, just so you know. That's already causing us to look ahead to what God's going to do through Peter in next week's passage. But again, the point here I'm trying to highlight for you is Peter was an effective minister because he was a man of prayer. He knew where the source of all strength and power for him to be effective in whatever way, right? You know, I've talked about this before. The miracles of the apostles was their ministry. That was unique, right, to them in that day when God was establishing the church. We're not going to be out there performing all these miracles. That's not the ministry God's called us to, right? But the ministry God's called us to is equally reliant on the power of God to accomplish anything. Right, I think the greater miracle is to see dead men live spiritually, not physically. That's the greater miracle. And that ministry, brothers and sisters, is completely dependent upon the power of God. And that in no way is in us. And so if we're going to be in the ministry, right, of speaking the gospel in hopes that people would rise from the dead spiritually, then we better be dependent on the one, only one, who is able to do that. And that's the Lord our God. And so if that's going to be true, if we're really dependent on Him, we're going to be people of praying. We're going to be people praying all the time because we're dependent on Him, knowing our limitations. We have no strength. We have no power. But You do, God, so therefore I come to You. And that's true even if it's not specifically seeing people come to faith in Christ. It's just ministering to those who are hurting, right? People in the body, loving them. We can't do that apart from Him. He has to do that. All the source, the strength, the power, it comes from Him. And if we understand that, then we're going to be praying because we're going to be asking God to do that for us and through us. So then again, I think you got to come back to that question at the end, you know, how effective of a minister am I? You know, how much does the Lord use me? Well, it comes back to all those questions. Well, am I out there? Do I even make myself available for ministry? You know, and it does come back, is it about Christ? Do I exalt Him? But then, too, you got to ask, do I pray? You know, not do I go through the ritual of praying. Not do I pray at meals and, you know, do I pray when, you know, everybody says bow your head and pray. Do I pray? Am I a person of prayer? Because I know I depend on God for all what only He can do. Do I pray on my own? You know, do I get alone with God? And do I get in my closet and do I seek Him in what ministry He would even have me involved in? And how to go about that ministry? And to provide the power for that ministry to happen? Do I pray on my own? Do I pray with the body, corporately? Asking and seeking God to use me in the ministry, in the body. You notice where all this took place with Peter? Many people were coming to faith, but where was the ministry happening? It was happening within the saints. He went to the saints in Lydda. He raised Dorcas, was a church member among the church, right? So do we come and we pray corporately with one another, asking Him to show us and empower us to do ministry among one another? And then lastly, do we just pray without ceasing, you know? It's not a one or the other. It's all of them. If we're people of prayer, you know, do we pray without ceasing when we're out there and people come across our path, somebody walks in the door, and we go, Lord, I don't know who they are or what they need, but You do. You know, how quick do you turn to prayer in that, Lord? Lord, I don't know, I can't do anything for them, but You can. What do You want me to do, right? That's just that prayer without ceasing as the things come up. What kind of people of prayer are we? If the Lord's going to use us effectively in ministry, we're going to be people of prayer. And you see Peter, you want to go back in the Gospels? Was Peter a man of prayer? It didn't look like all that much. He was a man who relied on his own strength a lot and told Jesus, I'm not going to fall away, I'll be with you. And he gets to the garden, he can't even pray an hour. But boy, you go through Acts. If you haven't noticed, then we'll continue. Even next week, Peter's a man of prayer. He learned from watching his master. The strength comes from our relationship with God, and our relationship with God comes through prayer. If we're going to be effective, we're going to be people of prayer. May God make us so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are the source of all power and strength. You are the source of all effectiveness. Lord, if that's true in us and we understand that and we know that and we trust that, then we're going to have to pray. Where else shall we go? Well, we can scheme in our own striving to do things, and we can depend on our own strength and even our own success that You've allowed us to have in certain things. But if Lord, if we truly understand who You are, we know that we have no power in ourselves. We need You. So, Lord, help us to be people of prayer because we know we're dependent on You. And yes, we trust You answer prayers. You tell us You will. You tell us You answer the prayers of Your people. That's why You call us to come. And so You not only change us through these prayers, but You work effectively through us for Your glory according to these prayers. This is how You glorify Your name, Father. So, Father, I pray You make us people of prayer. You make us people who want Christ to be exalted in all we do. Lord, why are we getting ready to share the gospel? Do we want Jesus to be exalted, or is it some other reason? Lord, why am I going to seek to minister to this person? Is it because I want Jesus exalted, or is there some other reason? Help us to know these things. And then, Lord, just help us to be available. Put us out there. And just trust in you, Lord. Say, here I am. Use me however you see fit. And we leave the results up to you. Because, again, we can't do anything apart from you. And Jesus himself declared it. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Help us to truly believe that and then live according to that truth. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.